We signed up for the Chase Sapphire. And then I referred my husband to the Chase Sapphire once I hit the sign-up bonus. And then I started applying for the Chase business cards, which that was really fun to get into because as a stay-at-home mom, I'm like, I'm not a LLC. I'm not a savvy business owner. How do I qualify for this? But then upon reading what so many other people are doing, I was like, wait a minute, but I do all these things and I do qualify. So that was really fun to start navigating those cards. And so many of them don't even have an annual fee. Just in the last year, we have saved over $15,000 in travel for our family of four.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Allison. Allison is a wife and a mom of two boys. She's a stay-at-home mom and a student in the Points Accelerator program. I am so proud of how much she has accomplished as a student, where she has saved her family tens of thousands of dollars in travel in just a little over a year. In this episode, expect to hear about how to earn tons of points on business cards as a stay-at-home mom, how Allison found great deals on flights and hotels for a family trip to Costa Rica, tips for taking kids on adventure trips and renting a car in Morocco, and so much more. And if you want to use points to save on family travel like Allison did, you can likely earn tons of points on a business card like the Chase Inc. Business Cash, even if you don't have an LLC or EIN. Business cards are where the big points are. Remember, if you decide to apply for the Chase Inc. Business Cash card or any other card, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. And if you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. And if you're interested in joining the Points Accelerator community so that you can save tens of thousands of dollars on luxury travel as well, join the waitlist at geobreezetravel.com/waitlist. And we have links to the Chase Inc. Business Cash Card and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. Hey, Allison, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, Julia, thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to have you here and to talk about how you are earning a lot of points as a stay-at-home mom, some of the different things that you've been able to do there, and some of the amazing redemptions that you have been able to do for your family. Before we jump into all of that, tell us a little bit about you. What's your background? How did you get into any of this? Tell us about you.
So I'm a stay-at-home mom to two boys. I love, love, love to travel, but on a single income, it gets quite expensive. And my husband said, if you want to go to all these faraway lands, you need to find a way to make it affordable for us. And we were on a trip that he actually won with his company. And a friend of ours was like, hey, I have a co-branded Delta card, and that's how we fly places because we live in a Delta hub. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So I was like, hey, that could be a way to get like some free flights so we could fly some places. So we got home and I looked into it and I was like, we could try that out. So that's how I got into it and snowballed from there.
How did it snowball? When did you realize, oh, there's more to the world than just Delta Sky Miles? There's all of these different transferable things as well.
So over the years, I started following more and more influencers, travel bloggers. And I was like, I had been overseas when I was younger. I was like, man, I really want to go back and I want to take my kids and I just want to see more of the world. I started looking at flights. I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to take forever to get anywhere near what I need to be able to do that. And then hotels and everything else. And I was like, ugh. So then I started looking at what all these influencers were doing and what the bloggers were doing and how they were able to afford it. I was like, wait a minute, there's a lot more out there than just this Delta co-branded card. So I started doing a little more research into it. And I was like, wait a minute, there are sign-up bonuses. And I didn't even realize when I first signed up for my Delta card that there was a sign-up bonus. So I clearly didn't get it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you were just earning like one Delta point per dollar, no sign-up bonus. How long did it take you to earn enough points for a free flight that way?
I honestly don't even know. We signed up for that Delta card in like 2013. No, it was like 2014. And then a couple years later, we were only a family of three, and we took three round trip flights up to Maine in December. So it was super cheap in points.
You did this because it was a cheap points deal. You were like, where can we go with this many points? We'll go to Maine in December.
We wanted to see snow. We're in the South. So it just worked out that way. But we were like, hey, we can get some free flights out of this. It worked out. It was beneficial. But there was no way we could go anywhere else with them.
How did you like Maine in December?
It was really cool. People thought we were crazy because they were like, what, are you here to see your family? And we were like, no. They're like, why are you here? We wanted to see snow. And they were like, but why? And we were just like, I don't know. We had a few days. So we just flew up there and we literally flew out the day a blizzard was coming in. They had to de-ice the plane as it was trying to take off multiple times. It was a really cool adventure.
This is hilarious. I also think, okay, so I grew up in Missouri, and the first time we went to Florida when I was like 11, I saw a palm tree on the way down and like freaked out. I was like, oh my God, it's a palm tree. This is amazing. So people are always just like, why are people so excited by snow? But I'm pretty sure my parents, the first time that they saw snow in the U.S., had emotions about it. They were probably just like, why did we move to the U.S.? We're now stuck with this because they live in Missouri. But that's a way to use Delta points. And a lot of people are always just like, does it count if it's a domestic flight? It totally counts, especially if you've been racking up the points for a couple of years. That can be a really good, memorable redemption, especially if you're seeing snow for the first time too.
Yeah, it definitely was. And it was a fun way to dip our toes into the points game. And then it took a couple of years after that before I kind of ramped things up. And I was like, I want to take this seriously. During every workout, during every car ride, I was listening to your podcast and I was listening to several other podcasts and I was texting my husband and I was like, these families went on 10-day trips to Europe. They went to Costa Rica. They went to Croatia. They went to Morocco. And he was like, you're crazy. That's impossible. And I was like, no, really, it's possible. And we're going to do it.
So what were some of the first steps that you guys took when you were like, no, hon, it's a real thing. Other families are doing this.
So the first thing I did was I applied for the Chase Sapphire because after doing a ton of research and seeing all the steps that like you had taken and several other travelers had taken, I was like, that's the first card aside from my Delta one that I need to really go after. So I did my Chase Sapphire sign up. I definitely hit my sign-up bonus on that one. And I really studied the transfer partners because I wanted to make sure it would work for us. And I realized like they had so many transfer airline partners and hotel partners. And I was like, this is great. It's so flexible. And we can go so many places. And we have a lengthy list of places we want to go now. So we signed up for the Chase Sapphire. And then I referred my husband to the Chase Sapphire once I hit the sign-up bonus. And then I started applying for the Chase business cards, which that was really fun to get into because as a stay-at-home mom, I'm like, I'm not a LLC. I'm not a savvy business owner. How do I qualify for this? But then upon reading what so many other people are doing, I was like, wait a minute, but I do all these things and I do qualify. So that was really fun to start navigating those cards. And so many of them don't even have an annual fee. So I started applying for those and then referring my husband to those. And then I learned that you could hold more than one of those. So I was like, oh my gosh, we can really just benefit from this. So that's like where it's all snowballed. And I kept a spreadsheet of all of our loyalty programs, the dates that each card was opened, the sign-up bonus, the referral bonuses, and when everything has hit, and all of our redemptions. And then I've also calculated like how much we've saved. Just in the last year, we have saved over $15,000 in travel for our family of four.
That is incredible. Let's back up a little bit. For all the stay-at-home moms who are listening to this being like, how do you qualify for business cards if you're a stay-at-home mom? What were you writing on these business card applications?
It was under retail, the sale of used goods, because I resell on Poshmark, Mercari, Facebook Marketplace, but you do have to be honest there. When I put in what I expect my income to be or what my expenses are, it's very minimal. It's what I buy my kids or our household. And then for our annual income, you do the household income.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get confused on that where they're like, my Mercari shop or my Facebook Marketplace shop or my Poshmark doesn't really make that much money. So they'll write on the application, I make $1,000 in a year. You'll probably get rejected if you write that. Go ahead and write the full household income, because what the banks really are interested in is, are you good for it? If we give you this credit card and you're charging $5,000 to it, are we going to get our $5,000 back? And so if you write the full household income instead of just what the side gig is making, you are much more likely to get approved for those.
Oh, definitely.
What did your husband write on his business card applications when you referred him?
The same thing, because he is also on Craigslist too.
Very good. So yeah, retail, if you guys are reselling on any of the marketplaces online, Facebook, Poshmark, Mercari, you can qualify for business credit cards. That way you don't need LLCs and EINs and all of those things. You can just use your social security number, apply as a sole proprietor, and go from there.
Yeah, and that has really been a game changer, especially like the last 6 months. That has just completely leveled up our points earning capabilities, especially with the no annual fees, because those can add up quickly. You have to be very strategic about what annual fees you're paying and if it's worth it. And most of the time, the annual fees are worth it because there are so many benefits. When you read through what you're getting from the card, the annual fees more than pay for themselves. But when you get into the more premier cards, the annual fees are pretty hefty. And some of the business cards, the annual fees can get pretty hefty as well. But when you have business cards that have no annual fee and you get 90 to 100 and something thousand signup bonus points, that's insane. And then if you can redeem it for 2 to 3 cents per point, like that's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of people are so obsessed with getting 15 or 17 or 20 cents per point with like Emirates first class everything. And I think we all just need to take a step back and be like, if you're getting 3 cents per point for a family of four flying to Costa Rica or Europe or anything like that, you are in the top 1% of people by far.
Yeah, we're not very bougie. We're flying as a family of four. We're trying to stretch those miles. So we fly economy because we want to see more places.
You mentioned you guys have saved more than $15,000 in travel. Where are some of those places that you guys have gotten to go?
So last year we booked a trip to Costa Rica. We went for 10 days. Our flights were completely covered. We stayed at the Andaz Papagayo for 4 nights and it was incredible. And thanks to your upgrade template, we did get an upgrade, which was amazing. That resort was just breathtaking. We were like, oh my gosh, our kids were like crying when we had to leave.
What room did you get upgraded to?
We had a forest view. I don't remember exactly what it was called. It truly was just stunning. And the staff there was just amazing. And they were so friendly. And they were constantly bringing treats to the kids. Our kids felt like royalty. We would go to the pool and they'd bring treats to the kids there. And they'd walk around with popsicles. And it was awesome.
What time of year did you go?
We went the end of May, beginning of June. And the weather, I know it's the beginning of rainy season. We were very fortunate. The weather could not have been better.
What did you fly?
Delta, round trip.
Do you remember how many points you spent for both flights and hotel?
Yes. So for flights, originally when I booked it, it was 58,000 miles per person. But I continued checking the flights and the points went down. So I called Delta and they refunded our miles. And we spent 48,000 points per person round trip, which I know is high. Delta redemptions aren't very great. I knew that. but I was okay with it because I had Delta miles to burn.
That's a hot tip though, where if you're looking at the points prices and they go down, I don't think a lot of people know that. You can call Delta and be like, hey, points price went down, instead of me canceling my flights and then rebooking it, can you just adjust it over the phone? It'll save you so much headache if you can make that quick call. That is a hot tip.
Oh yeah. And they're so gracious. They were like, oh yeah, no problem, we'll do that. And they were like, it was instant too. While I was on the phone, I watched the points show up in my account. And I'll tell you, I ended up using those points the next week, right after they refunded them, which was really awesome. But then for the Hyatt, it was right before the devaluation. We were able to book the Andaz for 17,000 points a night, which was an absolute steal for the Andaz, because I think it jumped up to 21,000 points a night off peak.
And those rooms go for like $700 or so per night or something like that.
Yeah, I looked. It was like 860 something a night.
For the standard room or the one that you got upgraded to?
For the standard room. The one we got upgraded to was over 1,000 a night.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And that's not something we would ever pay for. It was a treat. It really was a treat. So like for the whole 10 days in Costa Rica, we spent less than $2,000 for a family of four, including our car rental.
I was going to say, how did you get from Liberia Airport? Hopefully Liberia, not San Jose Airport.
Yes.
How did you get from Liberia to the hotel? But you guys rented a car. What did you do for the other nights? Because you mentioned you stayed like four nights out of the 10 at the Andaz.
We actually drove to La Fortuna and we stayed at an Airbnb. And we were actually able to find an Airbnb for like less than $60 a night. And it was on a fruit orchard next to a pizza restaurant, which was really cool. So we stayed there for four nights or five nights. And then we drove to Papagayo.
That is incredible. So you guys flew into Liberia, went to La Fortuna, went to Papagayo, back to Liberia. We'll show all of this on a map on YouTube if you guys are like, what are any of these places in Costa Rica? But okay, so where else have you guys gone? Because that was a savings of a few thousand dollars, right?
That was a savings of just over $6,000 total with flights and everything.
Where else did you guys get to go?
We also took a last minute trip to Boston. I had a Delta companion pass because I had the American Express Platinum and it came with a companion pass. And then because I was refunded some miles, I had some more miles in my SkyMiles account. So I was able to use some miles and my companion pass for four round trip flights up to Boston at the end of July. And then I was able to also transfer some of my Chase Ultimate Rewards to Hyatt up there for four nights. And so we went up to Boston. It was super last minute. We had no idea how expensive Boston was. And I was like, why are these Hyatts so expensive? And why are these flights so expensive? We found out. But it was a really cool trip. It was a lot of fun.
What would you recommend for families who are visiting Boston, especially if they've never been there before?
Definitely have to go to a ball game. It is a very cool experience. And it just so happened that while we were there, our home team, the Braves, were playing. So we bought tickets and we went to the game and it was so much fun.
Who won the baseball game?
Not the Braves.
I don't know how many Boston fans we have out there. If you're in Boston, let me know in the comments. But I know we have a lot of Atlanta people.
Yeah, the Braves lost that game, but it was all right. It was a lot of fun. It was really cool because the history of the stadium and the fans were so friendly. So it was just
from New York.
It was a really great experience. The kids loved it. And so did we.
I've talked to many Yankees fans who are like, the Boston Red Sox fans are not polite, but they have a bit of a rivalry. I don't think they would act that way towards Braves fans at all. They're like, oh, welcome, out of town people. And that's totally cool.
Yeah, they were really nice. I don't know. Maybe because we had kids with us.
Oh, I've heard Yankees fans who are like, they yelled at my children for wearing Yankees things. Oh, yeah, it's a whole thing out in the Northeast. But you guys are safe because you're from the South. It's basically a whole different place. So what else do you guys recommend doing for families in Boston for the first time?
So we did the Freedom Trail while we were there. And that was an entire day excursion. And that was really cool. It was very historic. We also took the train up to Salem. I am a huge, and my kids now are huge Hocus Pocus fans. So we had to do that for a day. And that was a lot of fun, riding the train and visiting the town and seeing the houses and seeing the history up there was really cool. My kids love trains, they're boys, so they love trains. So they just thought it was out of this world. And we also went whale watching. And the day we went whale watching, we got so lucky. There were two, I believe they're called pods, and they were curious. They were young, and they were actually coming to the boats, and they were jumping out of the water. It was really neat. So that was really awesome. We loved Boston. It was a very cool city.
That sounds like so much fun. I think in the world of points, so many people just overlook domestic travel, where everyone's like, I went to the Maldives, I went to Bali, I went to France. And those places are all great. I love all those places too. But there's so much cool stuff that you can just see in the US also with just a short weekend trip or something, or even spending a week of spring vacation or summer vacation with the kids to do domestic travel. I think a lot of people look at the world of points influencers and they're like, I am not going to take my kids all the way to Bali and Emirates first class. There's just a pile of reasons why we can't do that. But I love how you're just showing there's so many different types of vacations that you can take, and that it's still really amazing to be able to get a free just week trip to Boston from Atlanta. That's so fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun. And my oldest had actually just, they were learning about all of that in his social studies class, and then he got to go there. So it was fresh in his mind. And then to actually go see all of those sites, it was really cool.
So you guys got to go to Costa Rica. You guys got to go to Boston. Any other trips that you guys have planned?
Yes, we took the kids to Arizona last month, which was amazing. We surprised them and we took them out to Arizona. We flew into Phoenix and we drove up to Flagstaff and we spent a few days. We went to the Grand Canyon. We went to Lower Antelope Canyon, Horseshoe Bend, Meteor Crater, and then we drove back down to Scottsdale and went to the McDowell Sonoran Preserve and did some hiking and enjoyed a few days out there during their winter break.
Which hotels did you guys stay at in Arizona? There's so many good ones.
There are. So actually the first couple nights we stayed at an Airbnb, and a lot of times when we travel, we do like to spend the first few nights at Airbnbs. Just with the kids, it's easier to do a little bit of laundry so we can pack lighter. And then the last couple nights we stay at a hotel. Just split it up. So the first half, we can also cook too. And then the last part, we stayed at the Hyatt in Old Town. So we were close to everything. So we didn't have to drive as much, which was really good. So all of our flights were covered and our hotel for the last half was covered.
This was the Hyatt in Old Town Phoenix or Flagstaff or which city?
Yeah, Old Town Scottsdale.
Okay, so Hyatt Place Scottsdale in Old Town. Yeah, that's a very walkable area as well.
Yeah.
I feel like we need more places where it's an easy walk, because taking kids and then cars and then parking and all of that is just a nightmare a lot of times. I think we just need a lot more of that in the US, where you can just stay at a hotel, walk out, do stuff, come back, and it's easy and you don't have to deal with parking.
Yeah, it's so much easier with kids because they get so tired of being in a car. Because, I mean, we drove all the way up to Flagstaff and then all the way back down. So it was a good bit of travel. Luckily, they're good in the car. It's not too bad. They're used to it now because we tend to have action-packed trips.
With like hiking, you mean? Or what do you mean
action-packed? Yeah, we love, like, especially like the first half of a lot of our trips, I kind of front load them with a lot of activity. And then the back end of them is a little bit more relaxing. Like the trip to Costa Rica, the first half of it, we were just on the go the whole time. And then the last half when we were at the Andaz, we were still very active, but it wasn't as like travel and on the go.
How old are your kids?
10 and 4.
Any other recommendations for parents who are just like, I'm thinking of taking my kids out for like their first big trip. I don't know how well they're going to handle it. Any recommendations for kids around that age?
My youngest, we started flying with him when he was 18 months old. He did his first flight. We took him across the country to Montana and we did 9 days. We flew to Salt Lake City and then up to Kalispell, Montana, and we did 60 miles of hiking that week.
He did 60 miles or he was just in a backpack?
Oh, he was on me.
Okay. I was like, wow, can they walk at that age?
Nope. But the sooner you start, they get used to it. They get used to traveling. Now he's 4 and he loves to fly. he wears a suit, a full suit when he flies, like a jacket, a tie, the whole work when he flies.
Just like the olden days.
Yeah, he loves it. And it's him. We're like, don't you want to wear something a little more comfortable? And he says, this is comfortable.
Do the rest of you dress up like this?
No.
The other three are just in normal casual clothes.
Yeah. We'll wear like jeans and a t-shirt, but we're not dressed to the nines. But he loves to dress up in a suit.
Always or just for planes?
Just for planes.
This is amazing. I've never heard of this and I've never seen a kid in a suit on a plane, but I would be so entertained. This would be amazing to see.
I'll have to send you some pictures. From a young age, actually from the flights to Montana, he sits in the seat and he pulls out the brochure. Whether it's right side up or upside down, who knows? But he likes to browse the brochure in the plane. He gets wings every time he flies. I think it was our flight back from Boston. The pilots let him into the cockpit and he got to sit in the cockpit and mash the buttons and pretend to steer the plane.
That is every kid's dream.
Yeah, he was hooked. He loves to fly. Anytime we leave the house, if we say we're going somewhere, he says, are we flying? I'm like, no, it's 30 minutes away.
He's like, we're going to drive, buddy. We're going to drive.
So honestly, just get him started. It's so much fun. My kids absolutely love it. They get settled in their seat. They each have their headphones. I bring them each their favorite snack and we settle in. It is their favorite thing. In fact, for the holidays, the last couple of years, we really don't even exchange gifts anymore. They know that we're going to surprise them with some sort of trip at some point during the year. So it's really exciting. We started doing the trips. The first one was Maine with my oldest. We surprised him with the trip when he was 5. And he still remembers the details. I think it makes a pretty big impact to let them see the world.
What's the next trip that you're planning for your family?
So my kids don't know.
Do they listen to this podcast? Because we won't spoil it for them.
They do not listen to the podcast. But my kids do not know that we have just booked a trip to Morocco.
What are you flying? Tell us all the details.
So we are flying Air France later this year. I was able to get a great deal on flights through Air France, and I'm so excited. I have been wanting to go to Morocco for several years now, and my husband told me, he was like, if you can make it work, we'll go. And I was like, watch, I'll make it happen. And that's been like his thing. I got him hooked once I was able to figure out Costa Rica. The whole deal with Costa Rica last year was, he was like, you have to make it fit in this budget. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And after that trip, he's been 100% hooked. And he's like, where can we go next? What's the next really cool place? So we have officially booked Morocco for later this year. The kids do not know. And we'll be going, including travel days, 12 days. But we've got 2 full days of travel.
Do you know what cities you're staying in yet?
It's going to be a very busy trip. We will land in Marrakesh, drive straight to Casablanca, stay there for 2 nights, drive to, don't know how to pronounce the name of the city. It starts with Chef. It's the Blue City. We'll be there for 2 nights, drive to Fez for 2 nights. And then we will be doing a 3-night tour to the Sahara. And then we'll be back in Marrakesh for 3 nights.
That is a really, really busy itinerary. And you guys are renting a car in Morocco?
Yes, we are going to be renting a car. And then we will turn it back in Fez before we join a private tour.
Have you guys driven in a lot of foreign countries before? Morocco is an interesting drive.
Yes. So we rented the car in Costa Rica. I've driven in Israel before, and we've driven Canada, like the US, really different. We've driven in Mexico. We've driven in Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. So yeah, we've driven in other countries. I've read about the roads and the drive time. Like, it could be 47 miles, but it might take you an hour and a half. We are mentally prepared for that.
What are your tips for families who are like, I want a road trip in a foreign country, but I don't know if I can handle it? What are your tips?
I would read about the rules and the laws before you go. Rent a car that you're comfortable driving. Rent from a company that you're familiar with. Most companies that are in the US, you can find a Hertz or an Avis or an Enterprise in most countries. read about the protections they offer, read about your credit card coverage before you go. And if you get there and after a day you're not comfortable with it, have your backup plan. But just go in with an open mind and just take a deep breath before you get on the road and give yourself extra time.
What credit card do you normally put this on, and how do you normally book your rental cars in foreign countries?
I normally put it on my Chase Sapphire. It has really good rental car coverage. Knock on wood, we've never had an issue. A lot of times, for peace of mind, we do buy the extra coverage just because we are in a foreign country and I don't want to go through the battle. Because I've read the stories of sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't. You have to cross that bridge. Are you willing to spend a little bit of extra money for the peace of mind? We are. It depends on how much extra. And a lot of times I do try to rent with companies that I am familiar with. It does cost a little bit more depending on the company. Like when we were in Curacao, we rented through Avis. It was more than a local company, but I knew the brand and I had rented from them before. When we were in Aruba, I rented from actually a local tour guide. We didn't have a problem and it went great. I bought the extra coverage from him and it was actually a fantastic experience.
Have you booked any hotels that you're very excited about in Morocco?
We have not booked any hotels yet. I'm actually not going to book a hotel. I'm going to book a Riyadh because I want more of a cultural experience while we're there. They're beautiful from the pictures that I've seen. I want our family just to immerse ourselves. I just want to experience everything that we can while we're there.
I love that. I love that for you. And I also really, really love that for your kids, because I think a lot of people, for various reasons, are just like, oh, take it like one step at a time, which is totally good. If you're going out of the country for the first time and you're a family and you're like, we are not ready for driving in Morocco, that is totally good. But I also love that you are taking this step to immerse your kids into such a different culture in Morocco. And a lot of people also obsess over, oh, I have to get the best points hotels. I have to always stay at Park Hyatt or Ritz-Carlton or something like that. But being able to blend, oh, we did points for Air France, we're going to pay money to stay at a Riyadh and do a more local accommodation experience. I think all of that is just really good to remember as people play the points game. Is there's so many different ways to do this, and you don't always have to do the most like grammable, I saved $70,000 on this type of situation every single time. Just do the travel that works best for you.
Yeah, we're so excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're already saving over $6,000 on the flights alone. So I call that a win, and it's allowing us to just, we can stay locally and we're able to do the private tour to the Sahara and take the kids there. And the tour is one of the nights you take an hour and a half camel ride into the desert. You camp in the desert and then you take a camel ride in the morning back out at sunrise. I'm so excited for my kids to experience that and for my husband and I to experience that. And if we were spending $6,000 on flights, we'd be staying in one town, not doing anything. I think it's a pretty big win for our family and I'm very excited about it.
I am so excited for you. I am so excited about all the travel that you've already done with Costa Rica, Boston, Arizona. I am so excited for your Morocco trip and everything else that you are going to accomplish in the future. As we wrap up, what would you say is your number one tip for people who are like you, where they might be stay-at-home moms, they're like, I'm not a creator on the internet, I don't have like a huge blog or anything, but I want to get into this hobby. What would you say are your top tips?
Just get started. Pick a card. If I had to recommend a card, I'd pick the Chase Sapphire to get started with. Start slow and just start. Start doing some research. Have a plan. Make a list of places that you want to take your family, or just you and your husband or your spouse. Make that your goal and start doing research about how many points you think you might need to get there, and take the baby steps to get there, but just get started. Don't wait to start, because it is so much fun. We took 4 family vacations last year, when normally we would just take one big trip and maybe a couple little weekend trips locally. We took 2 big trips last year and then 2 additional trips last year. It's just incredible. We feel so fortunate, and it's not something we ever would have been able to do if I had never stepped into the points and miles game. It's so much fun. And I'm just maximizing the loyalty programs that are already there. They have them there for us to use, and I'm benefiting from something that I do every day.
Absolutely. And I think that's the key also, is You mentioned a couple of really good points, like work backwards, pick where you want to go, do some research about, oh, I'd love to go to Morocco. I'd love to go to France. I'd love to go to Costa Rica. And then pricing it backwards from there to say, here's how you do this on points. Here's the cards that you're going to need. Here's the type of points that you'll need. And starting with one or two big trips, and it'll really snowball from there. Thank you again, Allison, so much for coming onto the show. It was such a pleasure having you here and getting to hear about all of your different adventures. I am so proud of you as a student of the Points Accelerator with everything that you've been able to accomplish in just a short amount of time. So thank you so much for sharing all of your stories with us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!